right, let me have your attention. All right, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. Boy, it's good to be here. I'm not used to preaching on Wednesday. This is kind of an odd day for me to come to chapel, but I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. And how do you like this weather? I think our weather's on crack or something. 70 degrees yesterday and below 30 today, and tomorrow goes back up to 50s. But this weekend supposed to be in the 60s, so it'll be a beautiful, beautiful weekend. I'm not here on Friday, but I do want to remind all of the bus workers that our spring bus rally is on Saturday, March the 9th. That's a week from Saturday. It'll be at 4:30 in the Jack Hiles Auditorium, and of course, that is our kickoff for the spring program. And how many of you, this will be your last spring program with us at First Baptist Church. How many of you would like that? Several of you, this is your last spring program. But I want you to be there. We are selling tickets. You can purchase those on Saturday in the bus meeting. Brother Dan Woodward is our speaker. He is the bus director at Brother Joe Brown's church, Marion Avenue Baptist Church in Washington, Iowa. And been there serving for over 30 years, probably close to 40 years, and looking forward to him coming and being our guest preacher that night. And of course, that evening, we'll kick off our spring program that'll start the week after that. And I want you to be there. Please don't miss that. And of course, Saturday, please be in your place. Bus captains will meet at 8:15, as we have been doing, and please don't forget about that. But James chapter 4, we're going to look and begin reading it in verse number 5. Just follow along as I read a few verses here. Boy, what a great special, wasn't it? Aren't you glad you're saved? You ever think about where you'd be if you weren't saved? You ever think about what your life would look like if you weren't saved? You ever visit your bus route on Saturday and think to yourself, you know, that could be me. Live in a dysfunctional home. And I wonder, you know, I tell you, Brother King, thank you so much for bringing to our students' attention about your being involved on Sundays. This is not my message, but you have no idea how much those kids need you. They may not tell you that. They may never tell you how much they need you. I promise you, they need you. They need your influence in their life. You ever visit on Saturday and think, you know, what would my life look like if I didn't live in a Christian home? If I didn't have a mom and dad take me to Sunday school and take me to church every Sunday. If no one ever came to our house and brought us to church. No one ever took the Bible and showed me how to be saved. Boy, thank God for salvation. Thank God that you're saved. Verse number 5, it says, "Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" Verse 6, "But he giveth more grace, whereon he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" Father, I pray that you would please meet with us these next few moments. And Lord, I pray that you would help me as I speak. I pray you'd help our students, our faculty, our staff as they hear and listen. I pray that this would be a profitable time. Pray that you'd use our time together to benefit all of us, Lord. Help our students. Help me. Pray you'd bless our time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the greatest words, in my opinion, in the English language is the word grace. Think about all the songs that have been written about grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that put me in its sweet embrace. It made me what I am today, just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom with each breath of life I take. Loved and forgiven, backed with a living, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, that where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Fanny Crosby wrote, "Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame, oh, magnify the name, precious name of Jesus, praise his name." Think about all the verses written about grace. Genesis 6:8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Psalm 84:11, "For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." John 1:16, "And of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace." Acts 11:23 says, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Acts 15:11, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they." Acts 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Romans 3:24 says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Romans chapter 5, verse 2, "By whom also you have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Romans chapter 5, verse 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Galatians 1:15, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Philip Brooks said this, "One who has been touched by grace will no longer look on those who stray as those evil people or those poor people who need our help, nor must we search for signs of love-worthiness. Grace teaches us that God loves us because of who God is, not because of who we are." Hudson Taylor said, "I am no longer anxious about anything as I realize the Lord is able to carry out His will and His will is mine. It makes no matter where He places me or how, that it rather for Him to consider than for me, for in the easiest positions He must give me His grace, and in the most difficult, His grace is sufficient." D.L. Moody said, "A man does not get grace till he comes down to the ground, till he sees he needs grace. When a man stoops to the dust and acknowledges that he needs mercy, then it is the Lord that will give him more grace." Interesting that all 13 letters that the Apostle Paul wrote in the Bible, in our New Testament, all begin in the very first chapter with the word grace, many times in the first couple of verses, and they all end with the word grace. Grace, the unmerited favor of God. Cannot be earned. It's an expression of God's love and mercy for us, even though we're undeserving. God's gift to us is that He gives to us freely. None of us are worthy of His grace. You're saved by the grace of God. Somebody came to your house and shared the gospel with your parents or with your grandparents because of the grace of God. There's nothing you did to earn. There's nothing good about us that found favor in the eyes of God except God's amazing grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, I'll just read this. "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, and for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in My infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Another definition of the word grace could be the desire and the power to do what's right. There's not a person in this room that is above sin. There's not a person in this room who is above giving in to the temptation that the devil has out there for every one of us. By the way, you've heard this said, it's been said numbers of times in this chapel, behind this pulpit, but you can guarantee, young people, that there is a target on your back, and the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. By the way, that same target is on my back, it's on their back, it's on his back, it's on the back of our pastors. It's on the back of our faculty and our staff, because the devil would love nothing more than to destroy and to ruin your life. By the way, never get to that place where you think you've arrived. The Bible says, take heed lest ye fall. Take heed lest ye fall. It means pay attention. It means you better pay attention and never think, well, I'm past that. I've arrived in my life, and there are certain things that I can do now because I've arrived in a certain spiritual status in my life. Boy, never get to that place, because you become very vulnerable to the attacks and to the arrows of Satan himself. We don't need grace just for salvation, though we do. We also need God's grace for Christian living. We need God to give us that desire. Give us a desire to say no to temptation. Give us that desire to say no to sin. Give us that power. Give us that strength. Give us that help that every one of us need to do the right thing. The Bible says in the verses we read here that God resists the proud. I don't know if there's a sin that will destroy a Christian in a greater way than the sin of pride. Pride is in you and pride is in me. And if we don't every day, if we don't recognize the pride that's in our life and confess it before the Lord and ask God to help us not to be, to be proud, because look, we need God on our side. But the Bible says that He resists the proud. And when we get that pride that begins to swell in us and we begin to be puffed up and all we're doing is we're resisting God working in our life. And we need to really, really understand and comprehend that I've got to do everything in my power and everything I can to stamp out the pride in my life so that God's grace can flow through me. He's not on our side when we're living in pride. The Bible says He opposes the pride. Young people, listen to me. We need God on our side. I need God to fight for me. I need God to be for me and to help me. And I don't want to do anything, and I don't want to live my life in such a way that is going to cause God not to give me His grace. But then the Bible says in the verses we read here that He gives grace to the humble. I don't know, maybe there is a person in this room that doesn't understand the importance of needing grace in our life. I doubt it. We need that desire. We need that heart. We need that burden. We need that strength. We need that courage. We need that boldness. We need that help from God to help us overcome the temptation and sin in our life. But I want you to notice that several times the Bible says to humble yourself. And I cannot find in the Bible where we're supposed to pray for humility. I can't find it. Maybe it's in there somewhere. I can't find it. I can't find where it says that we're to pray that God, that we would be humble. No, that's something that God wants us to do. God wants us to be humble people. God says when we're willing to humble ourselves for the sight of God, then He gives us His grace. He gives us that desire to do right. He gives us the power that we need to overcome satanic oppression. God says it's better for us that we humble ourselves than for God to have to humble us. By the way, don't ever think God doesn't have it in Him to humble you. God will humble us. We don't humble ourselves. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and the Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Matthew 23:12 says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. James 4:10, we read it this morning, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. My message this morning is super simple. It comes straight from this passage in James chapter 4. And I'll tell you why I'm preaching this. Because I need it. If I need it, chances are you need it. Because I want God to give me grace. I want God to help me. I want Him to give me the desire in every area of my life to do the right thing. Be able to have the wherewithal say no to temptation and to say right, do the will of God for my life. And I don't know about you, but I desire to finish strong for the Lord. I don't want to be a casualty. I don't, you know, too many men have spent decades of their life doing the right thing, and it's like their last quarter, they fall off the wagon and they go off the rails and life just becomes a disaster. Young people, we don't want that for you. But this is the message this morning. How can we practice humility? The Bible says to humble ourselves. How can I practice humility in my life. Let's look at verse number 7 in the verse that we read in James chapter 4. The Bible says in verse number 7, let's read this together out loud. Ready? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, very simply, the Bible says if we're going to be humble people, then we need to submit ourselves to God. Let me ask you a question. Are you an obedient Christian? Are you willing to submit to the Lord and surrender your will to the will of God? Is it a struggle for you when God points out something in your life and do you struggle with submission? What is that rooted in? That's rooted in pride. It's my pride that doesn't want to submit to God. It's my pride that doesn't want to surrender to God. It's my pride that says, you know what, Lord, I've got my own plans and I've got my own dreams and I've got my own ideas and I want this and I want that and God, I don't care what you want for my life. I want what I want for my life. And that is a source of pride that's in your heart. God's not going to give you the grace that you need to live for Him without submission. It has to be a willingness to submit. It has to be a willingness to surrender. You've heard this. You know this. The sign for surrender in sign language is just put your hands up. You know what that means? It means I give up. And everybody in the world knows this. They know what this means. It means I give up. You go to China and somebody puts a finger in your back, you're gonna put your arms up like this. I surrender. Take my money. Take whatever I have. You know, the Lord just wants us to surrender to Him. He wants us to give up our will and our plans and our desires and be willing to submit to the Lord. You know, some of you need to do an evaluation of where you are in your Christian walk with the Lord, because God has been speaking to you about certain areas of your life that you're resisting. And when we resist God, when we oppose God, God opposes us. And when we let pride puff us up and we let pride swell in our hearts and our lives and God kind of takes a step back. And then we wonder why we struggle with sin and we wonder why we're not having victory in certain areas of our life, and it's because we refuse to submit and be obedient to God. So you know that obedience is not just to the Lord, but it's also to authority in your life. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. They must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for who? For you. There needs to be a revival among some of our students that understand the importance of authority and yielding and submitting to authority. Those who have a hard time keeping the rules and obeying authority are limiting the grace of God in your life. Then you wonder, why am I struggling? Why is it such a battle? Why am I up one day and down the next and I just don't seem to have victory in my life? It's because you're limiting God's grace in your life. Because you're unwilling to submit to the Lord and submit to authority. Brother King comes up here and makes announcements about rules in our college, about wearing a suit coat. You begin to evaluate that and think, well, is that going to work for me? And you know, am I going to be able to do that or not? And you begin to question authority. What you're doing is you're limiting the grace of God in your life. Because there needs to be a submission. By the way, we resist that. All of us do. That's just pride. It's pride. It's in my heart. It's in your heart. And as soon as somebody says you need to do this or this is what you got to do, the first thing we want to do is we want to resist. I need to go to the Lord and say, God, help me not to resist, to be submissive. Submit to the authority, because I want the grace of God in my life. Not just for salvation, but for everyday living. Number 2, the Bible says, we notice here in the verse 7 we read, resist the devil. Not only do we need to submit to God and be submissive to the Lord, but we need to resist Satan. That means don't give place to the devil in your life. Too many of our students have, you've given place for the devil on your iPhone, on your cell phone, on your iPad, on your computer. You've given place to the devil, and you're dabbling. You're dabbling. And you're not as clean as you ought to be, because you've given place for Satan. And by the way, you give Satan an inch, he'll take a mile. You give him a little foothold and he'll barge in and he'll push that door open and he'll come in and reside in your life and he'll destroy, because he always comes to destroy and to kill. That's his plan and that's his tactic and that's his goal. But we need to resist Satan. We need to get rid of anything that is tempting us to do wrong. I want you to look at verse number 8, James chapter 3. James chapter 4, verse number 8. I love this verse. Let's read this together. Ready? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. You know, the Bible says, draw near, draw close to God, and he'll draw close to you. He's as close as the mention of his name. But you know, let's be honest, it takes humility to need God. Let's be real honest. It takes humility to actually take time out of my busy schedule, because I'm a mover and a shaker, and I've got places to go and I got people to see and I got things to do, to actually take time to read my Bible. Take time to walk with the Lord and to pray. But you know, it takes great humility. Get on your knees and say, Lord, I want to draw close to you, because I want you to draw close to me. How many of you need God in your life? Would you raise your hand? That was real clear. Draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. You know, the closer God draws to you, the more grace he gives in your life. Submit to God, resist the devil, draw close to God, and then verse number 8. In that same verse, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Simply be pure. Be clean. Clean in your thoughts. Clean in your actions. Clean in your words. You know, you can only have one thought at a time. You cannot think about two things at one time. And when a wrong thought comes to your mind that may lead you to do something that you should not do, what you need to do is immediately decide, you know what, I'm going to be pure and I'm going to change my mind. And I'm going to think about what's right and not give in to an evil thought or an impure thought. Be pure. Then I want to end with this, the last point on my message. Look at verse number 11. The very first phrase of the verse says, speak not evil of one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. This is my last point, and maybe one of the more important ones. Talking about humility and humbling ourselves. Number 5, don't talk bad about other people. Don't talk bad about other people. Don't be critical. Don't be a gossip. Don't be so insecure. The only way to lift up yourself is to put others down. It's all rooted in pride. The reason I would be, and I'm guilty of it, and you're guilty of it. God help us. God help us. God help me not to have so much pride in my heart and life that I would be so free with my words and how I talk about other people. The Bible says, speak no evil of another person. Why? Why does the Bible say that? Well, he says in the Bible, because we're brothers. He says, brethren. He says one reason you shouldn't talk evil about another person is because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Why would we talk evil about each other? We have several parents in here. The men on the platform are parents, and throughout this auditorium we have parents, and I have children. And you know, when my children were younger, and you guys could testify to this, you know, one of the things that I hated the most as a father was when my children didn't get. Boy, it just grieved me. I wanted my kids to love each other. I wanted them to get along with each other. I didn't want them to be talk negative about each other. You know, I wonder if God doesn't feel the exact same way. We criticize each other. We criticize our roommates. We criticize that bus captain or that worker from that other division. We tear them down and try to make ourselves look better and look good. The Bible says we shouldn't speak evil of another person. We need to ask God to help us because it's all rooted in pride. And when we're so careless with our tongue, we speak negative and speak harmful about another person in Christ because we're proud. We need to humble ourselves. Why does God tell us not to speak evil of another person? One, because we're brothers. Number two, because we're not the judge. I'm not the judge and you're not the judge. And God says we don't have the right. God's not given us the authority to put other people in their place. The third reason God tells us is because there's only one judge. That's God. He's the judge. There's correcting that needs to be done. I let God do that. I tell you what you do. You say, well, I just don't think that's right. Well, maybe you ought to take his name to the Lord. Maybe you ought to take her name to the Lord and pray for that person instead of criticizing that person. Because that's rooted in pride. God, help us to be humble. Help us to be humble. Life is too short not to have the grace of God in our life. If I have one purpose in bringing this message today, it's this. I want you to have the grace of God on your life. That desire and that power and that ability and the strength that we need to overcome difficulties and temptations in our life. When we're puffed up, we have pride in our heart because we're unwilling to submit. We're unwilling to resist Satan. We're unwilling to be pure, and we're too careless, so careless with our tongue and what we say about other people. God, forgive us. Help us to be humble in your sight, because I want God's grace and I need God's grace. I hope that's your heart desire as well. Father, I pray this morning that you'd help us, Lord, to humble ourselves. Lord, we need a dose of humility. Lord, forgive us for our pride. Forgive us for our rebellion. Forgive us for our stubbornness. God, help us to be humble. Forgive us for being stubborn and not submissive. Forgive us for being so careless about what we say and how we talk about other people. God, help us to welcome the grace of God in our life and not resist. We need you. Lord, we need you.